Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show. We've got a lot of crazy things going on. We've got the sun just going ballistic. It looks like there's a pretty big explosion close to Mars or on Mars. There's a lot of talk about that. I talked with our Captain K about that. He says, no, it wasn't the Mars base that blew up. It was something in between the telescope and Mars. And so we'll get more on that and track that down. But there's a lot of different stories on there, but it looked like it was pretty close to the planet or on the planet. So I wouldn't be surprised because they are shooting at all kinds of different people out there, which is probably not a good idea. There's a lot of other stories breaking right now, but I'm going to skip some of them. We are heavily in this shift right now, and there's some major events. Maybe we can talk about them during the show. But without any further ado, I want to bring on Alexandra Metters, and she's got she's a certified homeopathist. She's a FE specialist, alchemist, intuitive healer, and she has galacticconnection.com and the River of Nature's Elements. And she's I've got so many things. She does a radio show on BBS and Galactic Connection, and there's she has galactic alchemical essences. And but anyway, we can give you all the connections on the site if you want to check out, you know, her Facebook, her other shows too as well. So with any further ado, Alexandra, are you with us?
I sure am. Thanks, James, for having me come on.
Oh yeah, it's great to have you on the show. I mean, we're doing such similar work. We have a lot of similar things we're doing, and I know you just I think you're still there. Are you still in Africa?
I am. I'm still in South Africa.
Yeah, and you've been doing some interesting work there.
Yeah, I've been traveling a lot, and we've done several missions. You know, this whole trip kind of caught me off guard because I was so burned out, and I just needed a vacation, and the last thing I thought I was going to be doing is working. But, you know, I think you're aware that Pam Plache passed away on the 11th, and the irony was I was on a plane to South Africa on the day that she passed. And immediately within 24 hours, she was already communicating with me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just like she came to me that night because I was so sad, and I was, you know, I was crying and just really sad to lose her. And she said, you know what, girl? She said, remember when we worked on a lot of projects last year? She said, you and I have been working on those for a long time. It's ready to roll. And I was like, no way. She says, yeah. And it's all about South Africa.
Yeah.
So, you know, the next thing I knew, I'd never been here. I've never really studied up on Africa that much. You know, I've always wanted to come here. And the irony, too, is I used to do those dream boards. Did you ever do those when you were young?
Yeah.
You know, where you'd cut out little pieces out of a magazine and put your dreams down. Well, one of my dreams was to take a safari in Africa. And sure enough, I ended up doing it. Little did I know. But I ended up coming here, and I was staying with Sandy and Chris, who she does quite a bit of volunteer work for my website. And they just basically, you know, opened up the door and said, look, we know how burned out you are, and you've been working your little butt off, you know, just come out here and hang, you know.
Yeah.
So I got out here, and the first thing they did was introduce me. You'll appreciate this, James. They introduced me to this gentleman named Lo, who ends up being a commander. Okay, like I could just, you know, get it right away when I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked, when we went to his property, I flipped out. It was actually the doorway to the First World Age. There was the sacred temple underneath the ground, and he was telling me all these radical stories about how they're trying to take his land away, because there's a lot of racism here, unfortunately, and there's a lot of, you know, it's just a really sad situation between the farmers and the indigenous people, and they want to oust them. And anyway, so he told me, he says, one day he came out and he saw these very, very tall whites, you know, hanging out all the way around his property. And I said, oh my God, are you serious? So I went to the back, and the next thing I know, you know, you know, about eight of them just around me. And I felt like I was going through an orgasm because the energies were that strong. I mean,
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever stood on a portal that was that phenomenally powerful in my lifetime. And I've been to quite a few. So basically, I saw it. They showed me, you know, there was like a waterfall and a lake and a temple, and there were pillars and all this stuff underneath his property. And he ended up telling me that they have the spring that pumps like 13,000 gallons per minute. And I mean, you're lucky in California if you get like 300,
Yeah.
you know? So I was just going, oh my God, this is clearly a really sacred place. And so that was the very first experience. And he started talking to me about Africa, and he was very knowledgeable about the Bible, which I'm not. And he said one of the things that has always stuck in his mind is that they have assured that the people will start below the rivers of South Africa. Like, you know, basically that's where the, you know, the, what do you call it? The new world will come from is below in South Africa. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. And then of course you've got Michael Tellinger, who I'm about to interview this weekend at his property. You know, he blew it wide open as far as letting the whole world know that this is the cradle of humanity. And so, you know, I was kind of putting all these pieces together. And the next thing I know, you know, they took me to a couple of ancient sites, and one of them was, I hope I don't destroy this name, it was Mago-Bosk-Lhuiv. And we ended up kind of going, it was a secret spot, like hardly anybody knows about it. And we ended up going out and through the bush and up and out. And I mean, like you had to drive through like this very gnarly four-wheel drive, you know, dirt and rocks and through streams. And it was crazy. And when we got there, we climbed up on these huge boulders and rocks and up to this very tip top. And he showed us some ancient stones that actually were calendars, you know, and they were basically etchings showing, you know, the storyboard, so to speak, of that time frame. Well, the next thing I know, James, I see the whole civilization. I look out, and they were long black hair, light brown skin, very, very pretty people. They spoke telepathically. They had like the kind of the protruding frontal lobe of the forehead, and no chin, and a kind of a long, slender neck. And they were basically showing me that this whole valley that we were standing in was the inside of an old ancient volcano. And they were saying how, you know, it's an amplification center and all this stuff. So this just kept happening over and over, no matter where I went. Well, little did I know, you know, I'm thinking I'm here for a vacation. And I came back and I started receiving all these messages that I was here to open up a cosmic, you know, they called it the stellar highway is what they kept calling it. And the next thing I knew, we ended up being told that we needed to get up to Anki's temple, which is actually the Zimbabwe ruins. Now, for anybody that does not know about Zimbabwe, let me just tell you just a quick snippet here. South Africa is below Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe has really gotten crazy about ousting all the whites and farmers out of the country. And it's to the point now where the president of Zimbabwe, I think his name is Mugabe, he just made a blanket statement. Now, get this, James. It says here, he says he just feels that all the whites should be shot. You know, he says he doesn't want to be exploited again, and basically he just put up an edict that it was kosher to shoot all white people. Okay, so we're going into this country with this going on, right? And I mean, it was insane. So, what happened was, and I'm sure you can relate to this, you know, it's kind of like it's a lot of piecing a lot of puzzle pieces together, right? You know, when you get a calling, they'll give you little bits and pieces of where they would like you to go and what they would like you to do. And Lo Venter, the gentleman I told you about that was the commander, he was just a key person in putting so much of this together. And what happened was I ended up getting a vision of a box within a box with an X. And that would be like the vision you would look at if you looked at a temple, or I should say a pyramid, from a bird's eye view. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean? And I knew I'd seen it before, but it was driving me nuts. And he was a very well-read man. He says, oh, he goes, you know what that is? He said, that's the insignia that was on Christ's cross. And I go, really? And he said, oh, yeah, it was right below the, I think it was right above the INRI. And I said, well, what do you think they're trying to tell me? And he said, well, if you look at it from the side, it's actually a representation of a spacecraft. And so we both determined that it was relating back to the Merkaba, mm-hmm. of mankind, okay? And then the other thing that came through was, you know how they've said that if and when Christ was crucified, they always show this picture of the three crosses on the top of the hill, mm-hmm. you know, in Golgotha. And he made a comment about that never would have happened. They would have always done it down in the valley because they wanted everybody to see it. They wanted everybody to be reminded that if you stepped out of line, this is what was mm-hmm. going to happen to you. And so the next thing I knew, I was being told that I would be shown through that message where to go when we got to the ruins. And then, you know, a bunch more messages started coming in where they were telling me that this was like a cosmic gateway that was an interlock of each of the dimensions. And they were showing me that each of the dimensional levels, races or civilizations, were wanting to be able to blow this open so they could bring in these new cosmic energies that had never been on the planet before. And they were showing me kind of like an interlocking system. And, you know, our responsibility was to just kind of, you know, ground those energies and hold it open and be able to blow the whole portal open. And so, but basically, like, I don't know, a couple days before we took off, really weird stuff started going down. One night, you know, at 3:33 in the morning, you know, the tempered glass over the stove just completely shattered into a gazillion pieces.
Wow.
You know, it was just like, okay, what are you trying to tell us? Mm-hmm. And they said that basically we were going to be shattering the reflection of the illusion. This is what kept coming through. We were going to assist in destroying the programs that the Matrix had created. And I was like, right on, let's do this, you know. And then the other thing that I was doing was before I left, you know, James, before I left, I was like, I just wish you guys would let me be like James. Let me just see a UFO, you know. I just like to see one once in a while. I mean, not that I haven't, but just, you know, like really the real deal. And like one or two nights before we left, sure enough, had a nice low horizon, slow enough for me to see a UFO flying by. And so, you know, it was just kind of like a confirmation. Yeah. And you know, just letting us know. And then we just kept seeing, you know, the praying mantis, right?
Yeah.
We kept getting messages from them. And, I mean, it just went on and on and on. And they kept saying that this was a really important mission because we would be destroying so much of the programming that's been holding us shackled. And I mean, something like 1900 programs were going to get wiped out from these energies coming onto the planet. So I was obviously very fired up to do this. And, the drive up there was brutal. We left at like 3:00 in the morning. It took us hours to get through the border because it's so corrupt. And we ended up going through probably about, we must have gone to 10 different people just to get a couple of pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. And every time you went to another window, they were bribing you or they were asking for money. Yeah. And this is just to drive over the border. I mean, and that wasn't even like trying to get up to the ruins where you were stopped about every, I'd say every 10 miles. Then you had traffic police who were stopping you and saying, oh, you know what? I need to see your papers. I need to see your identification. I mean, I felt like I was in World War II. It was really that bad. So anyway, we finally got through all of that, you know, $100-something later, just across the border. And we ended up driving up right before you get into the ruins. And I just tripped out because I looked at these humongous boulders. And I realized that one of them was a sphinx, but they had split it in half, like taking the road through it. And so I thought, wow, this must be a really sacred, special place. And then they started showing me pictures of this was all fitting in with the guardians and the light grids. They were talking about, you might know a little more about this than me. They were talking about how Enki, you know, Enki and Enlil were the brothers. Mm-hmm. And one, I think Enki was in charge of the underworld and Enlil was in charge of the heavens. And they were talking about how the what they were focusing on was the middle third of the earth, because this was the core area where all the guardians and those people that carried the codes would actually be able to activate the frequencies. And get this, you would activate certain frequencies based on where your original place of birth was in your very first incarnation. I thought that was really interesting. And they were just showing me how we would basically be standing on the nodes, and this would be part of the, you know, bringing this all to a fruition, you know, process. So that was pretty cool. And we even, because it was such a corrupt and dangerous place, we had to bring in a native Zimbabwean with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was mind blowing, James, because, you know, you pulled into this country and you looked to the side and there were goats and donkeys and an occasional horse, an occasional dog. You didn't see those very often. And cattle. And, you know, and there were like dead animals on the side of the road because there's so many of them walking up against the door. I mean, the street. I mean, it was just, and they were like emaciated, you know.
Jeez.
God, it was just really sad. So anyway, we ended up getting into the actual ruins, and I was just constantly in communication. They led me right to what's called the Great Enclosure. And what's ironic about that is the only part of the Zimbabwe ruins that's really been highly hyped up in the world is the Hill Enclosure, which is basically where Enki hung out, and that's where they did a lot of their spiritual stuff. But basically they were telling me that the very important portal location was in the Great Enclosure, where the queen – they're actually speculating it was the Queen of Sheba who had a relationship with King Solomon, and they actually had a son. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this was all connected. So we went in there and, you know, we were interrupted. There was a lot of intrusion, but we got it done and we got the ceremony done, and, you know, we pretty much were relieved to just get out of there because everything was so stressful and everything. But the irony of it was there were three conical towers inside this great enclosure, and they were solid. Like we looked at them and said, you know, what are these? What are they for? Now, what do you think they were for? Just, you know, like what's your hit?
Well, it sounds like an energy generator. You know, to focus the energy into the ground, into the land.
That's exactly what we got. Yeah, we were told they were like a battery and a way in which to extract the energy and hold it. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons we were told to go in there. But then we looked behind us and we saw this mound. Now get this. And it had a thatched roof over it, had a fence around it. And they were given a talk about how it was an initiation for the bride and the groom and sexuality and all that. Well, what I saw, I saw sacrifices on that thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's probably like multiple timelines that were playing out, but that's what was originally shown. So anyway, we did our thing and we cleared it up, and I ended up seeing, It was an interesting vision. I ended up seeing the cross, the Celtic, you know, the perfect, you know, perfect, not a cross like Christ was on, the perfect, you know, even cross. And then I saw the eight-pointed star, and then I saw the lotus blow wide open. And, you know, we were told that we were successful. And we had, apparently we had four other groups throughout the world that had been called to do energy work that we didn't even know about, who were supporting us energetically on this mission. So I thought that was really cool. That came back to me later. And then we had another friend that was doing a lot of the higher dimensional work with this, so to make sure that we blew it all the way through the higher dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so that was successful. And I actually saw the light just spread over the planet. It was just the coolest experience to see that happen. And, you know, we really weren't messed with. We had the ancient ones with us, and there were a lot of ships and stuff. And so we were very protected. But that was the first one. Okay. Now the second one is even more mind-blowing. We ended up on the way back, we met this military guy, and, you know, he was like really undercover, and he's talking all about, you know, what's going on with the political situation in South Africa, because things are – South Africa is really in a place of let's just put it this way, lots of changes going on and lots of unhappiness, okay? And he was saying that there have been – they were doing like a counter-assassination gathering because people were coming down through Zimbabwe. And they were taking people out. So I thought, that's really strange that I would meet this guy, you know, and he would tell me all this information. I thought it was really strange.
Yeah.
So I just kind of put, you know, I kind of put it in the back of my head. I thought, okay, whatever. So then, like a couple days later, Pam came in, and, you know, I was talking to her about the mission, and I said, you know, just wanted to check in with you and see what's going on. And that was kind of interesting because she said, well, she had made a very conscious decision to move to the other side because she could do far more work and be a better protector of me and Steve and everything because of the kinds of missions that she knew that we would be going on. And so anyway, you know, we talked back and forth, and Sandy and Chris and I, you know, that was quite an interesting thing. And you know how, like, when you do these kinds of things and you do ceremonial work, you kind of have to process it for a couple of days.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You never know what kind of, you know, energies are going to come up. And of course it's very, very consciousness, affecting, I should say.
There's always a backlash.
Yeah, exactly. There can definitely be a backlash. So, you know, we came home, we were really fried, and, you know, we got everything cool and everything was situated. So about a week went by, and this is when everything just started changing. We were on four wheelers up in the very high mountains, 'cause they live up in the mountains, and we were driving around in just this God beautiful, unbelievable country. I mean, it just, you know, the soil here is like this deep, deep, deep sienna red, and, you know, the trees are like healthy, and, you know, it's clean and clear. I mean, it's just so pretty here. And all three of us got this hit that we had to stop at this location. We came around the corner, and the soil was raw. You know what I mean? It was like opened up, and it was probably, I don't know, it was a good 8, 10, 12 feet high or something.
Yeah.
And we all stopped because we felt like we had to, and we took pictures. Well, little did we know that we got them home, and I've got to get these pictures over to you, James, because I've got to get your opinion on them. But there was some really trippy stuff in these pictures. First of all, the whole entire side of the cliff was made up of faces.
Wow.
But there was also it was a turquoise orb, and then inside that orb, it almost looked like a brain or like a beetle or something. I don't know. And then there was like kind of like a fairy elemental looking being with red hair. I mean, it was totally a trip. So they were obviously trying to communicate with us, right? Mm-hmm. So the next day I went out, and for whatever reason, I started taking pictures of the sun. And I was doing it through the trees and everything else. And I looked down, and the pictures had faces inside the purple rays. I mean, just clear as can be. I mean, you got to see them to believe them. So I thought, okay, well, this is really cool. They're obviously talking to us. I went inside, and I started getting major messages. So I went to a map, and I was shown exactly where we needed to go. And it was Maun, Botswana. Have you ever heard of that place?
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't.
Okay, this is a very famous, apparently, location in Botswana, because it's right at the south side of the Okavango River. Now, the reason that's a big deal is because they have yearly flooding. And it takes months and months and months for the floodwaters to arrive there. It's one of the oldest salt pans in the world. Now, note that, salt pans, right? Mm-hmm. So everything's retained there.
And
I thought, well, this is – I didn't know squat. I didn't even know what Maun was. I didn't know about the Okavango River. I didn't know anything. I was just following guidance. And anyway, so a couple days later, UFO cloud ships started showing up. And this is the part that really – this was very unique. It's probably totally normal for you. But we were outside sitting on the patio, and I was just – I thought, you know what? We saw these two clouds, and, you know, I was like, those look like UFOs. And I was kind of thinking, well, if you are a UFO, show me that you can disappear. And it did. Okay. And so I thought, oh, you guys are really playing with us. So I said, okay, I'm going to start asking you questions. And if it's a yes, you know, give us some sort of sign. Well, the skies were clear. It was dark. There was no rain. There was no thunder, no clouds, nothing. You know, it was a very clear night. And so I started asking him questions about, you know, this information that they were providing me. And James, for over an hour, they were responding like almost Morse code. So if I asked a yes, they would flash and it would go all the way across the horizon.
Wow.
And if it was no, they wouldn't do anything at all. And, you know, at first we were all three like, did you guys see that? Because I did. And then we realized, you know, my God, there's actually a pattern of this. They're really responding. And then, you know, basically once I started asking too many questions about the so-called ascension process, they stopped. Mm-hmm. But towards the end, I said, you know, just give me a confirmation. Can you just like send an asteroid or a meteor or a ship or something? And I look up and this thing just flies over immediately. It was like orange and yellow and green and flashing. It was really pretty. So clearly we were on the right track, right? Because I was asking all these questions about the next place they wanted us to go. So then we were led to more information. And one of the situations was the commander that I had originally met. He calls us up and says, hey, by the way, I just had a spontaneous combustion of my tree right next to where I told him the doorway was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was incredible. It was just one thing after another. So I just want everybody to know this location in Maun is like unbelievable because it travels something like 500 miles through two different countries to arrive at this location. And it's such a big deal that all the locals literally have a chain phone call type setup where, you know, one town calls the next, which calls the next, just to let them know that the floodwaters are finally coming. And they say that this goes way back in their history that, you know, this is when they celebrate because the waters finally arrive. Because without the water, James, it's totally a dust bowl. It's super hot. You know, it's super dusty. You know, it'd be kind of like the last place you'd want to live kind of thing, you know. So And the other thing that's kind of sad is the wildlife, the rhinos and the elephants and the giraffes and the lions. I mean, you name it. They all trek towards this water every year because it's such a huge source of water. But what happens is by October, which is ironically when we went up there, it's known as Suicide Month because it's so dried up, there's no water left. And for those animals that made it all the way to the location and they find that there's no water left, a lot of them die of dehydration. And it's mm-hmm. it's really, really sad. So I started getting a hit that if you look at the Okavango River, it looks kind of like a heart. And it actually has this main aorta of water feeding into it that they're always complaining about because it gets like stopped up with papyrus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought, God, this is a trip. It's like clogging your arteries, right? I mean, I started seeing all the parallelisms. And so, you know, the next thing I thought, well, okay, now they're taking me to a salt pan area, which was an ancient lake bed. And the guy Lowe had told me that this had been a very ancient city at one time. So I kept thinking, okay, how is this related to the Zimbabwe ruins? I knew they were related, but I wasn't sure how. And so the next thing I know, more messages come in. And the Galactics were actually asking us to pool, like hold the pool of light. And they set themselves up in a very specific strategic pattern. And they warned us, you know, you don't want to pull this light through your body. It could blow your circuits. The only thing we need you to do is we need you to direct it north. And the trip was, when I went to the map, they said it's going to be somewhere between Lusambo and Luluaburg, which is now Kananga of the portal. Of the Congo. It's the capital, I believe, the Congo. Well, if you know about the Lulu, right, that is the race that Anki created. Mm-hmm. So there was the connection, finally. I was like, oh, okay, so we're dealing with that. Well, I also remember back in the day when I was interviewing Cobra, he was really hot about closing down the portal in the Congo. And he used to talk about how it's such a detrimental portal to the world. And it really kind of got me fired up. And I had done some work on it. So the next thing I know, I was given information. They showed me that Atlantis is like still it's still existent. Now get this, under Africa in a different dimension, connected through a wormhole. And I'm like not believing this, right? I'm going, come on, this is not possible. And I ran it by all the people here in Africa, and they said, oh yeah, that's one of the I didn't know any of this. Yeah, that's one of the theories. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Well, what's interesting is there's three major fault lines that go down in this area, the Gumari, the Kunyiri, and the Thamalakani faults. And supposedly the major disaster of Atlantis caused these fault lines. So it's all tying together, right? I mean, yeah. You know, I'm thinking, wow, this is fascinating. So we were told that they had genetically created more of the Archons through this wormhole, and they were literally pumping them into this reality. And that this is the way they were entering. This is one of the ways, I'm going to say, that they were entering this dimension. And so I was told that the directive was given to stop the deluge and that we were here to seal up that hole. So when we left for Botswana to do this mission, we knew this was really big. You know, we were like, okay, you guys are going to provide us protection, right? You know, this is pretty major here, you know. And sure enough, you know, an eagle flew down right in front of our window, you know, just kind of showing us, you know, we're here, everything's cool. And we saw a couple of kind of the cylindrical shaped ships, the Arcturans.
Yeah.
ships.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there were a couple things like, you know, an ostrich came and stood in the, you know, in the road. I love to look at animal speaks. I don't know about you, but, you know, that was like one of the main things that we saw. And when I looked it up, it said, you know, don't place yourself in any kind of vulnerable position, you know, and, you know, just remember that you're assimilating knowledge and that this is your heads up. So I thought, okay, this is all really cool. We kept driving up. We actually ended up getting a speeding ticket. You know, it was a big drama scene, and it was, you know, obviously not a big deal, but it felt like it, you know, because of the cost involved. But I kept being told that they would prefer this to happen on the 18th of October. And I thought, well, you know, that makes a lot of sense because it's a 9 and it's also a 10, which is a 1, new beginnings, you know, all that stuff. If you just look at the date, 10/18. Well, we drove up there and they said, you're on a need to know basis. You know, we'll give you further information as we get closer. And I'm like, okay. Well, we get in the car and they said, okay, you need to turn left out of the dirt road and just go down about 20 kilometers. And that'll be your first signpost. Sure enough, right at 20 kilometers, there was road work and one of those circular turnarounds in the middle of nowhere. And then they said, okay, another 12 kilometers and you're going to hit the spot. Well, next thing I know, I'm supposed to find a place to pull off between these two little towns, Comana and Tico Ciolo. And I knew I only had so many miles between these two towns, and I knew that it had to be between these two towns because that was the information that was coming in. So the next thing I know, we ended up pulling off. We ended up under a tree, James, and it was an acacia tree with thorns, which is the same tree that they use for the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know if you've ever heard about the acacia, but it's a trippy tree. So this ceremony was like nothing I've ever experienced. It was so mind-blowing for all three of us. We will permanently be changed forever. But in a nutshell, you know, we basically did as they asked. We pulled the light, we diverted it, and when I actually came back home later and I basically looked at the degrees, the location where we were was exactly the same degrees as the location where the military base was and the Congo portal was. So it was pretty brilliant, you know, instead of like sending you in there physically where you never would have made it anyway, right? I mean, nobody goes in there because it's so damn dangerous. So, anyway, we went through this whole thing and, you know, the whole ceremony. It was quite a long ceremony and went through a whole bunch of stuff. And it was so intense. The light infiltrated the wormhole or whatever you want to call it. And I started seeing like each of the countries and locations around the globe lighting up. And once the whole globe had, you know, like you could see the outline of the countries starting to come to light. And as soon as they finished with that, all of a sudden it just extracted everything. It pulled out, it sealed up the hole, pulled back, and then went straight up. And we all saw the whole thing. In fact, I saw Mother Earth. I heard her cry out. She, you know, it was like I saw her lift, and it was just one of the most profound experiences of my life. I was sobbing. So anyway, they said that, you know, the underworld clearing was 100% successful. And the thing I just wanted to share with everybody was that they said the extraction of the Archon population was 88% successful on the surface of the planet. And I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, basically, what, you know, they can travel multidimensionally. They can cloak themselves. They can hide themselves well. You're talking some of the major politicians and world leaders, et cetera. And they said, but what this is going to do is, you know, trust us. We are strategically getting ready for battle, which is interesting why you brought up Mars today, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I said, okay. Wow. They said, well, you know, it's all good. We're really happy. And I ended up seeing all three of us receive a crown, James. It was so cool. Now, the reason that that is really special to the three of us is because the day before we left for Botswana, we were driving up the street and there was a spider web and it was partially missing. And Sandy stopped and we took a picture of it. And what do you think it was shaped like? It was shaped just like a crown. And we actually have pictures where we stood under it giggling, not knowing that it would be associated with this. So, that, I mean, there was just constant confirmations of all this stuff. There was also a section where Chris and Sandy are twin flames. And so Chris was representing the divine masculine and sending out, you know, the love across the planet. And Sandy was representing, you know, the surrogate for the receiver of that love, as if to represent all the shame and the unworthiness and, you know, how people don't feel that they're loved. You know, she was basically representing that side of it. So that was super profound. And it was just mind blowing. So then, like, you know, we got done with that, if that wasn't enough, right? We get up the next day and I decided to take a video of this river at night because of the amazing sounds of the birds and the frogs and all the stuff. And I ended up catching, a small, and I wanted to know what you thought of this. It actually looked like three, individual cylindrical rotating, circles in greens and pinks, and it shot up right in front of the video screen so I'd see it. And it hovered there, and when we slowed it down, we actually found one or two other small spaceships in it. I mean, it was just mind-blowing. It just kept going.
I'd like to see it.
Oh, I know. I want to show you all this because, you know, they really did go out of their way to show us some, like, physical, you know, stuff. And then on our way home, we had, you know, those dirt devils? They're like whirlwinds in the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We actually drove into, like, 13 of those. So I thought that was really weird. The trip back was really interesting. We caught the asteroid showers. I'm not sure if you caught that. And then on the way back, there was this place called Solomon's Wall. Now this, I've just got to tell you about this really fast. This is an ancient riverbed where this was called Solomon's Wall, which was basically an ancient dike that had broken through. Well, there was no water. Okay. So we're walking across to go see this wall. And, you know, we look down and there's just a little bit of water left that dips down towards the wall. And it's this beautiful lime green. And I'm standing there with Sandy and I'm like, wow, it's so pretty and everything. She goes, isn't it? We're taking pictures. And she says, wow, I think there's a crocodile in there. And I said, are you serious? Now I'm from Southern California, you know, they acted like it was no big deal. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I cruised on and she had to go back to the car. So here I am. I'm in the middle of this ancient riverbed. I was collecting these phenomenal geodes and polished jasper rocks and rocks that were broke open and they were filled with crystals. And they're all over the place. James, they're in bright purples and pinks and yellows and greens and oranges. I mean, it was just spectacular. And I look off into the distance and there's this huge elephant eating a tree. I mean, it was one of the most incredible experiences of my life. I mean, talk about experiencing the wild.
Yeah.
So I go back to get my hat so I could put all my rocks in the hat. And sure enough, the crocodile was starting to walk out of the water. And I went, okay, I'm out of here. But I've never in a million years thought I would be that close to a crocodile and just be like so nonchalant about it. So anyway, you know, the long of the short of it is it was very, very successful. That, you know, I've done a lot of other stuff, but those two really, from what I'm being told, they were a catalyst that they told me over and over again that the curse has been lifted and the chaos has begun on the galactic realm in a big way. They said that this was the another trigger of a chain reaction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just heard from somebody that between January and the date of the actual mission on the 18th, there were something like, you know, 10 class flares. And then in the following 9 days after we went and did that, there were 6.
Yeah.
And then there's been none lately. So, you know, another alignment in timing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I've been finding out some pretty interesting things because some things I can't even talk about right now because I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, you know. But
me too. And yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Major events are happening that you're never going to hear them from mainstream news. And you know, before people would tell me about these things, and I go, okay, well, where's your evidence? You know, how can you prove this and things like that? But now, you know, it's the evidence is all there. Everything is there, and we're going to go through a whole different regime change and a whole different banking change, and everything
big time.
And it's already done. Basically, it's already it's already been set up. It's already, you know, it's on the books. It's it can't be stopped, and the families that are behind it are benevolent. You know, they want to see the earth get cleaned up, you know, and the people living, you know, in prosperity and things like that. So it's amazing watching. And now I'm seeing this whole cabal thing is completely imploding. And some of the things I can talk about because it's public knowledge is that they did go to the world court and they tried to file bankruptcy and leave us hanging with all the debt and let everything collapse. And the world court said, nope, sorry, you know, we're not going to grant it. And you need to either take care of your debts or, you know, go to jail, basically. So,
I agree.
Yeah. And so these things are, there's other things, too, I've looked up that have been verified. But I think it's a short amount of time before this whole debt situation that everybody's been enslaved by and the people that were involved in it and everything are going to be totally removed. It's already set up. It's already, you know, the paperwork's already in. The defaults have been done. All these other things have been done. And
I really agree with that, James. And I do feel that just my little piece of contributing to the planet here is I feel very strongly that this was a checkmate, mm-hmm. strategic move. It was definitely a checkmate. And I've been getting messages constantly to that basic, you know, that exact expression from them.
Yeah. So. I know the same thing with my travels, like going to Mexico and then going to, I mean, Mexico was a battle. The last time I was down there, I just went, oh my God, this is like Archon Central and the reptilians and everything going on. I go, this is unbelievable. I got pretty beat up on that one, you know.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So anyway, the Hawaii one was interesting too. I mean, a lot of crazy stuff happened there, but we got things done that we needed to do there. But yeah, I think we're all doing great, you know, amazing work, especially the work that you're doing, and also too being that is that I think you got to go back to where it all started, and that's basically where everything started.
And that's the thing. This is what they told me. They said this is where they wanted it to get cleaned up first, mm-hmm. was to go to the primordial mound and the first world age and the cradle of humanity. And I've learned a ton. And, you know, I love it here. I mean, oh, my God, I love it here. And just to travel to all the various locations, and it's like perfectly normal, you know, to see an elephant. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's pretty mind blowing. But anyway, I just want everybody to know, you know, I can only speak for myself, and I know there's a lot of other people doing a lot of work out there, that we are so, so close.
Yeah.
We are so close.
Yeah, there's so many levels to what's going on that, you know, and I've had people come to me and go, what are you doing with, well, what do UFOs have to do with spirituality or religion or anything else? And they're really into, you know, meditation and yoga and things like that. And I just said, have you read your books? You know, have you read the Vedas, the scriptures? You know, all those people you're praying to and singing praises to had ships, you know?
Absolutely.
And they're still here and they're helping out. A lot of them are helping out. Some were causing problems, you know? But,
I agree. In fact, four of the little white grays, I hate to call them grays, but, yeah, you know, the 3 feet wide, supposedly yeah, they're 11th dimensional beings. Uh-huh. I don't know. They're very, very white.
Yeah.
Well, they showed up at a portal right on the property that I'm on, you know, just uh-huh, as if to say, you know, more support and yeah, just to say it's all good. But I really want people to know that I know things are really chaotic. I know they're very kind of confusing. I know it's hard for people to know who and what to trust right now. You just need to hunker down within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This is really a time of listening to your own inner, you know, guidance system and really trusting in it. Yeah, it's just such an important time to do that.
It is, definitely. I always tell people, you know, the first number one priority is making your own personal God, creator, spirit connection, whatever you want to call it. You know, that's first priority, and everything else, you know, comes with that. But
yeah,
a lot of people do everything else and then make that the last priority. You know?
I agree. Well, before we tie up, tell me what you heard about Mars.
Well, I'll tell you, I talked to Captain K, Randy Kramer. And he sent me a pretty long email, and he said that that's a bunch of nonsense, basically, that the base wasn't blown up and this and this and this and all this other stuff. And I looked at it over and over again. He said that happened, you know, above the surface. And I said, well, can you verify that? Are you saying that just from what you're observing? And I said, is there any way you can verify that? And he said, okay, I'll get back to you. I'm going to talk to his superiors or whatever and find out if something did happen there, you know, what that event was about. But I know, you know, for me, I'm kind of like in the middle. I don't, you know, I know that they have this space fleet. But he was saying, you know, the way they kind of come after everybody and then sort it out later. Whoever shows up, they show up and chase them off, you know, and you know, that might be good if there are negative entities coming in ships, but it also too could become very serious in dealing with a very, you know, an advanced race that has extreme technology too. You could have a, you know, you go, hey, what do you mean I can't fly through here, you know, through this area? You're saying I can't go, and then boom, you know, okay, we'll take away your base, you know.
So, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things that could be happening there, and so I'm going to see whatever else information I can get, and talk to my guys too about it and see what they say.
Well, I would love to hear. Please keep me posted on that, okay?
All right.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, because even though we do have technology and borrowed technology, and we do need some sort of a defense system, I do agree about that. You know,
yeah.
But that was the thing I asked him. I said, well, is there a place where the benevolence can meet, where we can have correspondence or meetings, you know, with these other beings coming in? I mean, there's fifth, sixth, seventh, ninth dimensional beings coming in that can help us out. I said, I hope we're not chasing them away. And he says, oh, no, there's a galactic command center where people are having meetings, you know, and then they have their meetings there. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
I agree. I know something really major went down after the 18th. I mean, I saw it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been getting a lot of information on it.
I'm seeing it filter through on every level too. It's and I'm seeing now all this information is coming out now about everything from the judicial system, you know, how that, so it's so corrupt and that's unraveling.
You know, I just, there's some things I'd love to talk about now, but I can't. But there's some things, and it's very on the legal side, and there's some things that have been done that are not, it's not woo-woo, it's not channeled, it's you know, I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying this is, you know, fact. You know, it's on paper, it's been done, and...
Absolutely,
and,
I agree.
Yeah, and the old system is out. You know, it's especially the Federal Reserve, that one's done. I mean, it's already basically done.
Yeah, so, they're just, right now, they're just scrambling because they know this is their final hour, you know. Yeah. They definitely know it now.
Yeah, and they've got they're done. The tyranny, the enslavement, the dependency, all that stuff is coming to an end. They're just, their whole world isn't frequency specific to where the earth and the people are going, and it's imploding, and as it should.
It's going to be an interesting time, huh, James?
Yeah, it is. So, hey, we're hitting the end of the hour here. So what's the best way that people can get in contact with you if people need to reach you and partake of some of your services?
Okay, we'll go to galacticconnection.com. You can also drop an email to, why don't you use admin@galacticconnection.com. Okay. And feel free to visit my blog page. It's up there every single day, and it provides information on what's going right and what's happening to dismantle the Matrix.
Yeah, and you've got your BBS radio show too as well.
Yeah, I have my BBS radio show on Tuesday afternoons from 3 to 4:55 p.m. Pacific.
Great. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and thanks for the update, and thanks for the work that you're doing too. Definitely I need to hear more about that.
Yeah, thank you, James. Thanks for all you do. We all love you. We
all
appreciate
right.
you.
No, keep up the great work. This is James Bowen with BBS Radio signing off. Have a great evening.
Bye.